It's hockey. It's on the big show. Steinberg, Kerr, Sportsnet 960, Calgary.
The San Jose Sharks looking to do exactly. Sorry, the St. Louis Blues looking to do exactly what the Pittsburgh Penguins did last night. That's keep your season alive on the road with a victory in a game six. As they're in San Jose to face the Sharks. And they are on the verge of elimination. The Sharks, one win away from the Stanley Cup final, the closest they've ever been in franchise history. What's their head coach, Pete DeBoer, saying ahead of tonight's game number six?
Well, we're not anywhere near where we want to get to yet. I mean, that's a long way away. Well, this is just another step for us. So it is business as usual. This is, finishing off a very good team, trying to finish off a very good team and take another step towards where we want to get to.
So that is Pete DeBoer ahead of tonight's game number six in San Jose. The Sharks, as I mentioned, could go to their first ever Stanley Cup final in franchise history. Pretty impressive what they've been able to do in these playoffs. It all started all the way back in round number one, where they beat the San Jose Sharks, where they beat the LA Kings, in five games. And we'll bring our good friend Matty Rose in the conversation. But, you know, we're just a couple of minutes away from hooking up with Peter Laborteus. But you look at this series right now, Mr. Rose, and it's almost like all the pressure is on the St. Louis Blues, even though the San Jose Sharks could win one or could go to the first ever Stanley Cup final in franchise history. There's more looking at the Blues pressure because you got the Hitchcock story, you got the Tarasenko struggle, you've got the goaltending decisions. There seems to be more drama and more pressure surrounding the St. Louis Blues. And I mean, rightly so, they are, you know, needing a win to survive. But it seems like anyways, there's more pressure on them and probably rightly so.
Well, for me, I think maybe a little more pressure for the Sharks because of all the postseason problems that they've had in the
past.
But
St. Louis said the same thing.
True. For me, I think there's way more drama involved with the Blues. That's where I can 100% agree with you with the goaltending stuff. The way they've kind of flip-flopped back and forth, I don't know if that gives a good mindset for your players going into it because it's just another thing that you're thinking about. When really, all you got to be is focused on yourself, especially like you look at a guy like Vladimir Tarasenko. He's struggling right now. Couple things, like he's got his brand new child going on in his life. You got this goalie controversy. I just think that for guys like him, especially like he's a younger player, you got to focus and just not worry about the other stuff, you know, probably holding the stick a little bit too tight right now. And that they're not going to win this series unless Vladimir Tarasenko finds a way to help this team offensively.
I would agree with you there. He's got to find a way to get on that score sheet because he's been dead quiet in this entire series. And obviously, when you're a high-paid goal scorer at this time of year, you're under a little bit more scrutiny when you're struggling to score goals. And that seems to be the case right now with Vladimir Tarasenko. Lots of people are talking about him. Lots of people talking about the goaltending switches as well. And it's been an interesting series as this it's gone back and forth, and the St. Louis Blues will go back to Brian Elliott tonight, and Jake Allen will be watching from the bench once again. Will that have a factor in tonight's game? I'm not sure, but we'll wait and see as the San Jose Sharks could punch their first ever ticket to the Stanley Cup final in franchise history with a victory on home ice tonight. 7 o'clock start from the SAP Center. You can watch it on CBC or listen to it right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Welcome in our good friend Peter Laborteus to the show. Hello, Lou.
Hello, Will.
How are you, sir?
I'm okay, thank you kindly.
Well, I'm not sure how much you caught of the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Tampa Bay Lightning last night, but the Penguins keep their season alive. They get 28 saves from Matt Murray, and they'll have a Game 7 on home ice tomorrow night.
They will indeed, and the only part of the game that I really caught was the first period, and the Penguins wasted no time jumping out to a two-goal lead. They were certainly the better team, and Matt Murray, through all of it, deserves a lot of credit. You know, they're just the more you watch him and the way this postseason has gone, and listen, there have been other goalies in league history, if you go back in time, that you know, caught lightning in a bottle and things went great in the postseason or during certain stretches. But every time I watch the former Sault Ste. Marie Greyhound, I just come to understand why, when there was lots of talk leading up to the deadline about, you know, inquiries from organizations about potentially landing this young man and making a deal for him, you can quite understand why Pittsburgh was in no hurry to do that. I mean, he's handled this postseason, you know, beautifully. There's been some ups and downs for him, but, you know, they go back to him tonight. Mike Sullivan gave us every indication yesterday in what he talked about to, I think, will really say that, you know, Marc-Andre Fleury was close enough to get a shot in the previous game, but, you know, in a do or die scenario with their life on the line in the playoffs, he just isn't quite ready, and they weren't ready to give him time, because in these situations, you don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. So they made the decision. The decision worked well, and, you know, off we go to a game seven.
Yeah, it's kind of what Mike Sullivan said. You know, you don't have time at this point of the year to let players work through things, and that's obviously what you're talking about when it comes to Marc-Andre Fleury. I'm curious. I know that you and Patty have talked about it before, but I'm just curious because you mentioned it. Murray is a former Sault Ste. Marie Greyhound. I'm not sure how much you saw of him as a junior, but again, Lou, you know, goalies so hard to determine what they might be down the road. I think Murray's a prime example of that. His numbers in junior weren't off the charts by any means, but he becomes a pro and lights it up in the American Hockey League and now comes in the NHL and is playing really well in the Stanley Cup playoffs on the biggest stage. Just maybe talk about what you know about Matt Murray and the career path that he's been on.
Well, I remember Matt, you know, obviously from his Ontario Hockey League days and, you know, back in the day, really liked what I saw of him, his size, you know, his athleticism. He has an interesting build, Will, in the sense that I'm not sure he's, you know, I don't know what he's listed at weight-wise.
178.
But yeah, and that might be stretching it if you've ever seen him, you know, out of his pads. Trust me, he might have the, you know, thinnest legs of any goalie I've ever seen. Mike Richter, he is not. For people who don't know, Mike Richter had, you know, like just huge thighs and big legs and really strong. And this guy's kind of, you know, especially in the bottom half of his legs, kind of the antithesis of that, if you will. Matt took a real step. He was an excellent goalie for Canada at the World Under 18 Championship and continued to develop, but never got a crack at the World Junior. He was like right on the fringe of being there and didn't participate, if memory serves me correctly. But, you know, always like, you know, size, like I said. I mean, that was the first thing that I thought. Mm-hmm. I, you know, remember even the first couple of times I saw him in junior and this guy's pretty good and has a lot of the tools, but, you know, a meteoric rise, if you will, because it takes most goalies a lot longer than that. And, you know, he was just superb this year in the American Hockey League and got his turn and, you know, was kind of in a three-way scenario for a while. I mean, Pittsburgh had three goalies, you know, in their locker room when we made our way into Pittsburgh late in the season. So they appear to have a real, real good one. And yet I think what'll be interesting, no matter how this season, you know, finishes, obviously it looks like he's going to be their guy going forward. But I've seen these situations before too, where, you know, there will be much different expectations on Matt Murray come next September and October. And it all depends on what they're going to do with Marc-Andre Fleury now. So we'll see how the game changes. But athletic, could tell pretty early, even though for me that's the hardest position to judge. And maybe it's because of a position I never played, even, you know, when I played Bantam and Midget and Peewee.
Mm-hmm.
Never wanted to be a goalie. Don't understand, frankly, why anybody does. Thank goodness they do. But yeah, you could tell he had tools for absolute sure.
Peter Labardius is our guest, and Lou, will shift focus to the Western Conference. Game number six goes tonight in the West Final between the San Jose Sharks and the St. Louis Blues. And I'm curious to get your take on the Blues flip-flopping goaltenders. You know, they go to Jake Allen for games 4 and 5. They lose games 2 and 3. They split those games, but they go back to Brian Elliott tonight in a must-win situation. First of all, I guess, did you like the call to go to Jake Allen? And number two is, are you happy they've gone back to Brian Elliott tonight?
I was a little surprised that Ken Hitchcock went in that direction, but nobody has the temperature of his team, you know, and ability to read it, I think, any better. You know, Ken has always been, needless to say, very, very good at, you know, a lot of things in terms of having a good feel for his group. And, you know, he's never been afraid to make changes, and he's made other changes, you know, in this series in terms of personnel. Mm-hmm. And I think he just felt like his team had hit a real flat and bad spot, and they had. I mean, they were clearly outplayed. And really, if you even go back to game one, which they won in the series, he was the first guy to come out after that game and say that, boy, this better stop or we're going to be in real trouble. And they were in real trouble. So when you're in real trouble, you're gonna call, you're going to dig into every bag that you have. And he obviously felt that, you know, going in a different direction that way was what he needed to do. The same way it would have shocked me had he not gone back to Brian Elliott with the kind of, you know, postseason that he's had. I really get the sense, being around the Blues, you know, not a lot, but, mm-hmm. you know, talking to the people that are around them all the time, just, you know, what a great guy he is and how much he's beloved by his teammates. And so I'm not surprised. And he's earned it. You know, he's a big reason why they're in this boat. And now that they're, you know, in a tougher boat with some water leaking out, I would have been shocked if they went any other way.
The other side of things, the San Jose Sharks are one win away from the Stanley Cup final for the first time in franchise history. And their starting goaltender, who many in this city know very well from his time with the Calgary Hitmen and obviously played some time with the LA Kings as well. But Martin Jones, the last two games, has had his struggles, Lou. And I'm just curious, you know, a guy that's played 65 games in the regular season, has never been a starter at this level until this season, and has now played 17 in the playoffs. You're looking at over 80 games on the year for Martin Jones. Is there any type of fatigue factor here for a guy that has played the majority of the games for his team all year long?
Potentially. But, well, my guess would be at this point in time with his youth, and I know he's not 21 and he's 25, but he's still, as you alluded to, in a brand new situation in his hockey world, you wonder about how he's doing in terms of mental fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. Like, he's had a big year, and he has had a great year. And through the time that I dealt with him, particularly in junior, I always felt that one of Martin's greatest strengths was just, you know, his demeanor and his ability to be at least what appears on the outside looking in is a real, real strength for him. But listen, you can, if you pulled Joe Thornton aside, if you pulled Patrick Marleau aside, you know, I've talked to guys here in Red Deer that have, you know, gone to the conference final, who have won Stanley Cups. You know, I had the pleasure, and I know that, you know, Rob had him on not too long ago and chatted with Brian Trottier, one of my boyhood idols and heroes. None of us really can understand, unless you do it yourself, you know, the grind of what it takes to win the Stanley Cup and the pressure and, you know, each and every shift and each and, you know, if you're a goalie, each and every goal means so much. So, you know, I think it's natural. And now he's in a great position. He's, you know, Marty's put himself and his group in a position to win the series on home ice. And yeah, maybe he hit a bit of a wall. And if you're San Jose, you hope that, you know, it's a little blip and it's not something that continues to, you know, carry itself on, because if it does, we're probably in a game seven in this series too.
The other guy, you know, the last one on the NHL, then we'll shift focus to the MasterCard Memorial Cup. But you look at this series as a whole, and to me, one of the biggest storylines, maybe he's not getting as much talk because of the situation with the goaltenders, but on St. Louis's side,
is Tarasenko.
Yeah.
Is that where you're going?
Yeah, where is 91? And really, Lou, I mean, I don't know if the Blues have a chance to win if he doesn't find his game.
Well, it's been a really interesting spring for Vladimir Tarasenko. And, you know, his utilization, if you will, and the impact at times, and then not so much at other times. My guess from the outside looking in is there's a lot of layers to Vladimir Tarasenko. And that's just, you know, the feeling I get from what I've seen, what I've watched, what I've witnessed. I do know this. When this guy is all in and fully engaged and believes, he's as dangerous as almost anybody on the planet. But I don't know about you, but Ken Hitchcock has kind of told me that at times during this spring, he doesn't trust him in some of the most difficult situations. And that may be going a little bit far, but doesn't the utilization say that?
Yeah, his ice time certainly is not where you expect it to be for a guy like Vladimir Tarasenko. And I know it's been, you know, brought up before, and everybody knows that shot in Chicago where him and Ken Hitchcock had a little scuffle on the bench. So you're right. I mean, there seems to be a little bit of layers, if you will, to Vladimir Tarasenko's struggles. And again, as somebody pointed out on the text line already, he did have a baby right before the start of this series. So maybe his head's a little bit somewhere else. And who knows? Maybe, you know, he's not all in the right place at the right time. And sometimes at this time of year, when everything's under a bigger spotlight, it can be
it's hard.
Exactly. And certainly.
No, and I'm glad that text, you know, the text line, and that's a great comment, because, and I try to remember this myself, because I think it's really, really important. You know, these are people, and people go through things, and we have no idea what people go through. You know, maybe when he's been at home, you know, we don't know what the demands are. I mean, maybe he's getting an hour of sleep, you know, every night. And don't tell me that doesn't affect you. Now, that may be, I have no clue. I don't live in the house. I don't know what's going on. But I do know this. If you've ever had a child, it changes your world, and I mean immediately. How you feel about things, you know, how you feel about yourself. It's different, and it's wonderful in so many different ways, but it also brings with it, Will, trust me, a lot of new worries and responsibilities, and, you know, is the little one okay? And it's hard. I mean, I know it was for me.
Yeah, and that's Tarasenko's first child too, right? So hasn't been in that world before. Yeah.
No, and he's young.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about somebody who's, you know, even been through the rigors of this at this level before, with this scrutiny and attention, and, you know, that part of it is brand new for him. So, you know, you take that, and, you know, if he's an emotional guy, and I don't think there's any doubt about it, even think back to, you know, remember when Shattenkirk and him were going at one another, and you know, I think about that with him all the time. I mean, there's an interesting dynamic with this guy, make no mistake about it. They're just, I'd like for somebody to tell me that there isn't. So, yeah, there's a lot on that plate right now, and we'll see. And he and his teammates are in a big spot tonight, and yeah, you'd have to think that at some spot starting tonight, he needs to be in on some good things if they're to keep their season alive and win the series.
Peter Labardius is our guest here on The Big Show, and a couple more with him as we shift gears to junior hockey. The MasterCard Memorial Cup, the round-robin portion, ends tonight with an all-Western Hockey League battle. The Brandon Wheat Kings need to win to stay alive and force a tiebreaker against one of Red Deer or Rouyn-Noranda. Before we get to tonight's game, Lou, last night the London Knights improved to 3-0, and again, Mitch Marner with 4 points.
Is it fair?
No.
Well, what he's done is as, you know, impressive as pretty much anything I've ever seen.
He's been on 13 of the team's 20 goals.
Well, other than that, he hasn't done much. And you know what? When you go back to the playoffs, that line during the postseason of he, Dvorak, the Arizona second rounder, and Matt Tkachuk, who's about to be an NHL first rounder, you know, at 119 points, and we're in on 60% of their goals. So I guess for London, it's old hat. For the rest of us who haven't been able to see it, you know, on a regular basis, now having seen them three times in less than a week, you know, how about the play he makes on the shorthanded goal last night?
Oh.
Now, I don't know what Rouyn was doing to give him that kind of ice, and what turned into a two-on-one shorthanded, but the patience and the luck off, and to see, you know, Max Jones, who's probably going to be a first-rounder himself, coming late. I mean, this guy, it doesn't seem to matter. I mean, it's on a string. It is on an absolute string, and it's been a pretty amazing show to watch, and I know you were in person yourself the other night in the 9-1 win over Brandon. Like most things, I think you kind of have to see it with your own two eyes to really, you know, get a proper feel. And my goodness, he's having as good a Memorial Cup as anybody that I've ever seen.
Lou, it's been mentioned a couple of times in the TV broadcast. I know we had Jeff Merrick on yesterday. He talked about it. Is there any thought to you when you've watched him play that Matthew Tkachuk right now is battling an injury?
Yeah, I think he is. And he aggravated something again in the third period last night and was slow to get off the ice. So, yes, I actually do think that, you know, he's battling through something. And don't kid anybody. You know, we talk about the rigors of the National Hockey League and what a tough trophy it is. You don't think there aren't kids that are banged up after all they've been through?
Yeah.
Four rounds of the playoffs, winning your league, you know, going through everything that is and will continue to be the MasterCard Memorial Cup. Yeah, there's a lot of aches and pains and bruises and people who aren't anywhere near 100% for sure. And, yeah, I do. I think he's battling something, but he's battling through it pretty well.
Yeah, he does not look like, if he is injured, it's certainly not holding him back too much, and give him a lot of credit for that, absolutely. I'm curious your take, because you've seen a lot of these tournaments and have been at a lot of them throughout, you know, from start to finish through all 10 days. The London Knights are off to Sunday's final, but will not have played a game since last night, which would be Tuesday. Mm-hmm. How much does that time off play a factor, do you think?
It can. You know, several years ago, and I was just doing the tournament for the first couple of years on Sportsnet in 04 and 05, which 05, I believe, was the last year where it was the case when Sidney Crosby's Rimouski team took on Corey Perry.
That tournament was okay.
Yeah, it was all right. And the London Knights in 05. Back then, Will, the way the tournament worked was there was no day in between
okay.
the semifinal and the final. And a lot of times in those cases throughout the years, there was actually a night-to-day turnaround, which even that year there was. Rimouski played Ottawa on a Saturday night and then had a 4:30 start the next day, you know, against a well-rested London team. So to get to the cut to the chase the best I can, so they made that move to give, you know, the semifinal winner a better opportunity. And at that point in time, I think the success rate was somewhere near 85%+ for the team that won the round robin. But in these cases, and I go back to Kelowna in 2009, they had actually clinched even before they played Windsor in their final round robin game, but they went from a Tuesday to a Sunday. I wouldn't say that it's a huge roadblock, but it's probably at least one day longer than I guess I would bet the Knights would like to have. So, you know, I think it can play into early in the game come Sunday for them. That's, you know, at this time when you're going every second day, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they've played, you know, we'll see. And who knows what's going to happen on Sunday. That's the amazing thing about one-game showdowns. But, you know, the point being, in some ways, especially when you're London and you're not in Ontario, where at least they would have clinched on a Wednesday playing in the final round robin game of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
That is that extra day from Tuesday to Sunday for me would be a little bit of a concern in terms of the amount of time off.
Last one, Forex, I know I kept you a bit long, but Brandon and Red Deer tonight, Western Hockey League showdown. The Wheat Kings need to win to stay alive. I know you haven't been overly impressed with the first two games from Brandon, and the Red Deer Rebels maybe surprised some with their victory on Sunday over Rouen. What do you make of this matchup tonight between the Wheat Kings and Rebels?
Well, I'm glad I'm going to the rink, because the older I get, the less in the prediction business I am, because it's impossible and true. And a good line from a friend of mine that I do some work with on Shaw, Bill Wilms. But I don't really know what to expect. Brandon has not played well at all. They have not been themselves. They certainly have looked nothing like the team that I saw capture the Western Hockey League title, a team with depth and, you know, confidence and ability to really, you know, impose their will. And they haven't skated the way they can. They haven't checked the way they can. But, you know, this is a proud group and a talented group, and they understand their situation. I mean, well, with the right combination of score, they could advance to the final,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, hard to fathom when you think about how their first two games have gone. You know, now it's not going to be easy. They're going to need to win and win by a bunch. And yet on Red Deer's side, I have been very impressed with how the Rebels have played. You know, they had a tough time against London, but I loved their first 13 minutes. Then for 30 minutes, they took some penalties and got away from their game. And, Will, you saw up close and personal what happens against London when you do that.
Yeah.
It spells disaster. And I loved how they played as a group, talking about Red Deer against Rouen. That's a really good Rouen team, as they showed last night.
Mm-hmm.
They're a really good team. Red Deer, when they're right, they're structured, they can be really hard to play against. And the Centrium crowd, like, I can't wait, because they have been spectacular. This building's been louder than I've ever heard it, ever, going all the way back to the Rebels' infancy. And they'll be ready tonight, and there's a rivalry there. They played in the playoffs, and I can't help but believe that there's just no way Brandon isn't going to be a lot better than they have been, so I'm expecting a dynamite game.
Yeah, you certainly hope the Brandon Wheat Kings are a lot better than what they showed on Monday against the London Knights. Lou, as always, I know I kept you a bit long, but always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend, and we'll see you soon.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Will.
That's Peter Labardius, the color voice of the Calgary Flames on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. He is in Red Deer tonight for the Wheat Kings and the Rebels. 6 o'clock puck drop. You can watch that one on Sportsnet 360 as the final game of the MasterCard Memorial Cup round robin goes tonight. And the Rebels can eliminate the Wheat Kings with a victory, while Brandon needs a win to keep their season alive and force some kind of combination of a tiebreak and or a semifinal on Friday. As Lou said, it all depends on what the score ends up being tonight. If Brandon does win, he'll have three teams tied at 1-2, and then you'll have to figure out from there with goal differential who will play in the tiebreaker tomorrow and the semifinal on Friday, while the London Knights are off until Sunday. How much will that play a factor for them? I want to let you know Hockey Night in Canada's Play On Calgary is back for its 11th year. It's an epic 4-on-4 street hockey tournament and festival. Anyone of any age and ability can participate. Play On visits its new home by the Calgary Airport June 11th and 12th. Register your team at playon.ca before the early bird deadline, which is today. Get your entries in today, May 25th. Play On is a great time. I was there last year. Get out there and play. Get some friends together. If you like street hockey, you'll have a blast. It's a lot of fun. And they're at their new home at the Calgary Airport, June 11th and 12th. Again, playon.ca as it's back for year number 11. We'll take a quick break around the corner. We'll get you set up for tonight's game number 6, St. Louis and San Jose. We'll also get you some updates from the teams not playing today as Matt Rose takes us around the NHL next, right here on The Big Show, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer and Warner in the morning. Brian Pinder. The Jim Rome Show. Steinberg on Hockey Central. The Big Show with Rob Kerr. And every game for your Flames. We are Calgary Sports all the time. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Around the NHL on The Big Show. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The San Jose Sharks.
They won Game 5 on the road, so tonight they have the opportunity to move on to their first Stanley Cup final in franchise history with a victory. Welcome back to The Big Show. My name is Will Nault. He is Matt Rose. And after being known for years of postseason failures, the Sharks can silence their doubters temporarily with a win tonight. Head coach Pete DeBoer wants one thing and one thing only when talking about Game 6 tonight.
A win. Finish him off. You know, I think it's a great opportunity. We worked hard for the opportunity, and we want to make sure we take advantage of it.
In net, it'll be Martin Jones once again. He leads all postseason goaltenders in wins and shutouts with 11 and 3, respectively. Again, I mentioned it with Lou Bardias and a little bit with Brent Cronin during Hockey Central at noon. Wonder how much fatigue is playing a factor right now in Martin Jones. You're hoping that the last two games were just a blip on the radar, but the last two games not been very good for the Sharks goaltender. He was pulled last game. Last game. And he's got two consecutive starts with a sub-900 save percentage. He's allowed seven goals in those two games, so you need a better effort out of Martin Jones tonight. And again, you're hoping it's not going to be a long-term thing when talking about his struggles. Hopefully it was just a couple of bad games, and he's ready to go tonight for Game 6.
Yeah, and they were talking, or you and Mr. Labardius, they're talking about the mental fatigue as well. He's played over 80 games this season. Martin Jones is still a young goaltender, still finding his prime in the league. This is a guy who we're going to watch for a long time, who we've already seen here in Calgary when he played for the Hitmen. People know what he's capable of. I don't expect the struggles that he's going through right now to continue for, you know, the rest of the postseason here. The way the Sharks have been playing, especially the way they've shut down Vladimir Tarasenko, that bodes well for Martin Jones without a doubt. I think we see a bounce back effort from him tonight, especially in front of what should be a very loud and rambunctious crowd at the Shark Tank down in San Jose.
They try to close things out on home ice tonight. You know they don't want to get back on a plane and go to St. Louis for game number 7. They want to close things out tonight, as you heard their coach, Pete DeBoer, say. It is a 7 o'clock puck drop. Got all the action for you right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. That's what's happening on the home side. What about those visitors?
The St. Louis Blues.
Well, those Blues are staring elimination in the face on the other side of the ring. Couple storylines following the Blues club. One, Vladimir Tarasenko. He continues to struggle. 40 goal scorer in the regular season. He had 13 points in 14 games in the first two rounds of the postseason, but he's been held off the score sheet by the Sharks. -4, only 4 shots in his last 3 games as well. They'll need him to wake up if they don't want their summer to start tonight. In net, another talking point here as Brian Elliott expected to get the call. Jake Allen was in net for game 5. Hitchcock going back to Brian Elliott in this game, and here is head coach Hitchcock on his decision.
We needed Joel to get back in the series. We got it. We could have really got out of it yesterday, and I just feel for me like, you know, Brian was the guy. We needed the jolt from Jake. We got it to get back into the series. You know, unfortunately, we didn't get the win yesterday, but this has been Brian's playoffs, and we'd like him to finish the job.
No shortage of goalie controversy this postseason, Will, that's for sure. We've seen 8 goalies in the conference finals alone, something that I don't remember ever seeing.
Well, Martin Jones has started every game. The San Jose Sharks are the only team that hasn't started both goaltenders.
Yeah.
But you're right. We have seen all 8 goaltenders. As James Reimer saw some action in Game 5 when Martin Jones was yanked after allowing 4 goals. It has been interesting, and I wonder if we're kind of entering a new era a little bit. We talked about that yesterday. You're seeing more of a, you know, you're seeing coaches find the ability to go to that backup goaltender maybe a little bit easier than they have in the past, or they don't know if it's, you know, they don't see it as a massive drop-off to their number 2. I think it's because of you're seeing a lot of teams with a 1A, 1B type system, but at the same time, Matt, I don't really know if that's the recipe for success.
I'd have to agree with you. We saw what happened in Dallas. They had 2 goaltenders who were worth over $10 million between the two, but where are they now at this point? And I find that goaltending was a problem for Dallas down the stretch. Tonight, puck drop at 7, as you mentioned. You can watch this game on CBC, and we'll have it for you right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. That's what's going on in the game tonight.
The Pittsburgh Penguins.
Well, yesterday, the Penguins continued along in their season as they avoided elimination by beating the Lightning 5-2. And a couple of Pens had that guaranteed Game 6 victory, as they all said they were going back to Pittsburgh in Game 5. Didn't know how much of a story that was because, as John Cooper said, the head coach of the Lightning, what else are they supposed to say? Nah, we're just going to go home. We don't want to win a game. So take it what you will. They didn't guarantee the victory. They won it, and now they're back home for Game number 7. Crosby had a goal and assist, including the game winner. And he talked about last night's victory over the Tampa Bay Lightning.
We know the circumstances. I think you go out there with the mindset of, you know, playing desperate. And I think it's pretty natural when you're in this situation. And, I think we have confidence in the whole group. You know, no matter who it needs to be to step up, I think everyone played great tonight.
Kind of interesting and kind of an amazing story for Crosby in this conference final or in these playoffs last couple of weeks. He breaks that 8-game scoring drought with the overtime winner, his first ever in the playoffs in the National Hockey League. And now he's got all 3 game-winning goals for the Penguins in this best of 7 against Tampa. Safe to say the captain is putting the team on the back. He's been pretty good in this series. And as I just mentioned with the 3 game winners, it's been very good for Pittsburgh. And now the only guy they need to wake up, Matt, is Evgeny Malkin.
Yeah, it's funny. You see, Evgeny Malkin was the one who guaranteed Game 7 going in Pittsburgh, and it's his old buddy, Sidney Crosby, gets the job done. Goal and assist yesterday. Malkin was held off the score sheet. If Malkin does come to life and play the hockey that we know he can play, get up to that level that Sid is playing at right now, it's going to be tough for Tampa to move on, and it's going to be tough for whoever moves on to the Stanley Cup Final from the West as well.
So that is the story with the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're off today. Game 7 goes tomorrow. They're traveling back to Pittsburgh as we speak. What's happening with the Lightning?
The Tampa Bay Lightning.
Well, the Lightning wanted to move on to the Stanley Cup Finals at home, but if they're going to do it, it will be in Pittsburgh. 5-2, the final score yesterday. Andrei Vasilevskiy allowed 4 goals on 33 shots. One was an empty netter, the 5th one there. But Andrei Vasilevskiy didn't get much run support, especially in the first 2 periods. It was Brian Boyle who scored both the goals for the Lightning. They both came in the 3rd. Bolts head coach John Cooper laid it out pretty simply for media after the game.
All their players pretty much played better than all our players for 40 minutes. All our players played probably better than them for 20 minutes. That's it.
That's it. Talking about the 3rd period there where the Lightning outshot the Penguins 15-6. But hockey's played in 60 increments, Will, not 20.
Well, and they need to be better if they want to win game number 7. I thought for the most part last night, Pittsburgh was the better team. They made the right call, obviously, going back to Matt Murray in game 6. I didn't like the call to go to Fleury in game 5. It doesn't end up biting them in the end because they end up forcing the game 7. So that's a moot point at the end of the day. But Matt Murray was good again. 28 saves on 30 shots. He's 4-0 now after losses in these playoffs. And a game 7 do or die. It'll be the first one for the Penguins in these playoffs, the first for both teams in these playoffs. So we'll wait and see what happens, but it should be a lot of fun. The one thing we can say heading into this series, we said both teams had a lot of speed. That's been the case through 6 games of this series. It looked like for a while we were going to see Pittsburgh maybe pull away after their win in game number 3, but they end up, you know, falling, losing the next 2 games, and then Pittsburgh ends up hanging on and winning game number 6. It's been back and forth, and as I mentioned with Joe Smith, just not a lot of separation between these 2 teams right now. It's been a lot of fun. It is kind of a coin flip. You don't know what's going to happen in game 7. You thought kind of both teams were dead in the water, Lightning first, and then Penguins after they lost game 5 and went to Fleury. So, you know, both teams you thought were dead and gone, but they have both come back to life and they're ready to go for a game number 7. For a chance to go to the Cup Final, and to be honest, I just don't really know what to feel on this one yet.
I'd have to agree with you. Pure excitement would be a couple words that I would use. Hoping for a better Game 7s than we saw in the previous round. But that's really all I want is an exciting game. The series tied at 3. Heading back to Pittsburgh for Game 7. That goes at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. We'll have it for you right here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan, and it will be on CBC. That's a spin around the NHL.
So the Lightning and the Penguins both 1 win away from the 2016 Stanley Cup Final. Lightning can do it for their 2nd consecutive year, while Pittsburgh can get back there for the first time since they won it all back in 2009. Sure like to see Crosby win another cup, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I could see it. I think he's got some time left on that, on those legs still, so there's a couple guys I'd like to see win some Stanley Cups that have been in the NHL.
You know, it's fair. There's a couple of guys in San Jose that you'd probably like them to win their first Stanley Cup.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of who I'm looking towards. A couple guys who've been battling it out for years down in California.
Let's not get too crazy with wishing for two before some guys get one, right? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Spread the wealth, Will.
Let's not be too greedy out there.
Exactly.
That's going to do it for our spin around the NHL. We'll take a quick break, and then around the corner, Matt Rose will deliver our three burning questions. I should let you know, if you have been kind of away from the world of sports to this point in your afternoon, the Toronto Blue Jays have activated Devin Travis from the DL. He will be in the lineup batting eighth tonight at Yankee Stadium, so he'll make his season debut in 2016, where he made his Blue Jay debut a year ago in 2015 at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. So that should be some fun. He's batting eighth. No Troy Tulowitzki. He left last night's game with some quad tightness. It looks like it's too sore to go today, so he will not play. Ryan Goins will play at shortstop. Devin Travis will play at second base. So you get your first look at Devin Travis. You've been waiting for that for a long time, like myself. Should be fun to watch him tonight, batting eighth, Ryan Goins batting ninth, and again, no Troy Tulowitzki. It'll be the Blue Jays and the Yankees, a 5:07 first pitch. You can watch it on Sportsnet, and should be fun to watch some Devin Travis. So there you go. That's the Blue Jays story. The Raptors and Cavaliers also go tonight. It's game number 5 from Cleveland. The series is tied 2 games apiece, and the Raptors 2 wins away from the NBA Finals. Pretty impressive. Didn't think they would be there. I thought it was going to be a 4-game sweep, but I was wrong, clearly, because the Raptors have won both games at home court and have made this a series. And I've got some people talking. Maybe got a little people in Cleveland nervous. Certainly tonight is a big one. I think if the Cavaliers win, find a way to get back and win all the games at home. Obviously, the Raptors have to win one in Cleveland to win this series. So tonight is a huge one, because if Toronto wins, they're going back home with a 3-2 series lead and putting themselves in the driver's seat, because the Raptors are very good on home court, especially in these playoffs. And we saw that in games 3 and 4 against Cleveland. That's a 6 o'clock tip off. You can watch that one on Sportsnet West, Blue Jays on Sportsnet 1, the MasterCard Memorial Cup on Sportsnet 360, and the Stanley Cup playoffs on CBC and right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Safe to say it is a very, very busy sports night with no shortage of exciting action going on. So from about 5 o'clock to about 10 o'clock, you should be locked into your couch and ready to go for all the sports viewing you'll ever need. We'll take our final break on the first hour of the Big Show. My name is Will. His name is Matt. We'll take a break, take three burning questions, and Pat Steinberg joins the conversation just after 2 o'clock this afternoon. You're listening to the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Broadcasting from the heart of downtown Calgary, 24/7 Sports, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The questions you're asking, the answers you're craving. It's three burning questions on the Big Show, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Wrapping up hour number one of the Big Show with the three burning questions. My name is Will. His name is Matt. Matthew, what do we have today?
Well, we'll start in the NHL tonight. The St. Louis Blues take on the San Jose Sharks. Blues staring elimination in the face. Jake Allen got the call back in game 5. They're going to go back to Brian Elliott here in game 6 tonight. And the question for you, Will, is do you expect a lights-out performance from the veteran goaltender Brian Elliott, or maybe a little bit of some nerves?
Well, I think if you're the St. Louis Blues, you're hoping that it's going to be similar to what Matt Murray did last night for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He took the night off in Game 5, came back with a Game 6 performance of stopping 28 of 30 shots to lead his team to a Game 6 victory. So you're hoping that you get something similar to that, but you really don't know how the guy's going to react. I don't imagine Brian Elliott took the benching too lightly. Probably didn't like the decision by Ken Hitchcock, but you're hoping maybe that also lights a fire under him. Who knows? It's also a different situation than Pittsburgh, because it's 2 games off for Brian Elliott rather than just 1, where you saw Matt Murray come back. So you really don't know how he's going to react, but you're hoping it's positive, because they're going to need him tonight if they want to take that series to 7 games.
Puck drop is about 5 hours away, and we'll have it for you right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. You can also watch that game on CBC. Shifting over to baseball, Devin Travis makes his Blue Jays debut this season, activated from the disabled list earlier today. He'll play second base. Do you expect Devin Travis to come in and have an immediate impact in this lineup, batting from the eighth position?
Well, if last year is any indication, then Devin Travis sure knows how to make an impact right away, because his first series in New York last year to kick off the year in 2015 was terrific. Do I think he's going to make an immediate impact? I sure hope so, because the Blue Jays have been struggling offensively. You need somebody, anybody, to come in and provide a little bit of a spark. He could be that. He is batting eighth tonight, so you're not putting a ton of pressure on him by putting him at the top of the order. So batting eighth, you're hoping he can flip that lineup over and you know, bring some runners on for the big guns like Bautista and Donaldson. But you're going to need him to do something, because for a team that's been struggling offensively, you're hoping Devin Travis gives you a little bit of something. And now Troy Tulowitzki injured with that quad tightness. Who knows how long he'll be out. But it looks like you might need Devin Travis for a couple of days in a row right away. So you're hoping for some kind of immediate impact when it comes to the second baseman.
And that one will be just after 5 o'clock first pitch. Marco Estrada will be on the mound for the Blue Jays, and you can watch it on Sportsnet 1. Finally, shifting to basketball, the Toronto Raptors face the Cleveland Cavaliers down in Cleveland. They've been outscored by 50 points in games 1 and 2 that were down in Cleveland. Even if the Raptors get eliminated by the Cavs here in the Eastern Conference Final, how much of a success would you consider this season?
Well, I think it's a massive success, and obviously it would have been a disaster if they lose in, you know, the first round to Indiana in 7 games, but they're able to get by them. They're able to get by the Miami Heat, and now the Stampeders in the NBA's Final Four. So I think anytime you make it to a Final Four, you have to look at the season as a success. I think a lot of people right now, you know, before the year started, you were looking at this Raptors team and saying, okay, if they get out of the first round of the playoffs, you're probably looking at this as a positive. Well, they did that. They even won a second round. So, yeah, I think it's 1,000% a positive. Even if they get blown out in the next 2 games by a combined score of 100, I think it's a pretty positive statement for the Raptors this season. I don't think a lot of people anticipated them even winning 1 game in this series. So, yeah, I think it's a huge positive for them here as they get set for game number 5.
And game number 5 tips off at 6:30. If you want to watch that one, it will be on Sportsnet West. Those are your 3 burning questions, Will.
Thank you, Matthew. We'll take a quick break around the corner. Pat Steinberg will join the conversation. We've got all kinds of stuff to talk about. Speaking of those Blue Jays and the world of baseball, Dan Shulman joins us at about 2:45 this afternoon. He is in New York for the Yankees and Blue Jays series, doing it on Sportsnet this time around. And also, the Flames coaching search, are we getting any type of, is that becoming any more clear right now? Because we had Brad Treliving on yesterday, and it doesn't look like there are any in any type of rush, but they sure are moving towards naming that next head coach. We'll get an update on that. We'll talk some Stanley Cup playoffs. And of course, I've seen a couple of texts on it already. Don't worry. Be on your radio at 3:25 this afternoon as Pat and I will go through another edition of Michigan Mondays. This time around, I have not previewed the clips, so I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, I've seen a couple of texts out there. Don't worry. Michigan Monday is coming at about 3:25 this afternoon. That'll do it for hour number 1 of The Big Show. Patty is next. I'm Will. He is Matt. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.